the follower of Jesus is commanded to give thanks in all circumstances.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
You know, as we were worshiping together and singing there, a thought occurred to me. I thought I'd share that with you here. It's like, why does God ask us to do difficult things? You wonder about that? You know, it's not always easy to obey God, is it? To obey the Word of God. Some things come a little easier for us than other things. Some things we struggle with. I wonder, why does God tell us to do things that are hard? And may I suggest that perhaps the reason that God tells us to do things that are hard is because He loves us. Have you ever thought about it that way? God tells us things that are difficult to do, like today, for example, give thanks in all circumstances. Some days it's easy to give thanks to God, isn't it? Other days, it's difficult. But God says to give thanks even then, in all circumstances. Why? And I suggest it's because He loves us. We'll look at that a little bit more in just a moment. So for today then, we're continuing in our series in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We're actually going to circle back to a verse that we covered very, very briefly before a few weeks ago in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I told you then, we're going to come back to it right before Thanksgiving and just camp out a little bit on this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in which the follower of Jesus is commanded to give thanks in all circumstances. We're going to look at that passage as a whole in a moment here, and then zoom in on that specific command right there. But first, a little context here. Recall that Paul is writing to these believers at the church in Thessalonica, and he is encouraging them in their faith. He's addressing some questions that they had, and he was praising them, giving thanks for them, that they were a good church, they were a healthy church, that they were growing in their faith and their love. They were steadfast in their faith. They weren't being moved by persecution and hard times. And in fact, they were known as a love church, a church that loved one another, and not just the ones right there in their local church body, their local family, but also the believers in other regions throughout the whole region there. They were known as a church that loved. So Paul is giving thanks to God for them for that. And now then he's encouraging them to excel, to grow still more and more. But can we ever stop growing in faith and love? I don't think so. And so they were doing well in these things, but he says now, excel in them. Do more and more, grow more and more in faith and love. Grow in holiness, in holy virtues. And one of those virtues of holiness that they were being encouraged to grow in was gratitude, the giving of thanks in all circumstances then. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to read that section from verses 12 through 24, in which he is encouraging them to excel more and more in holiness, in these virtues here, in which he says to them, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work." Now, I want you to know, I didn't put that in there just because I wanted you to remind you to esteem me and to respect me more and more. I know you do that already, okay? But there he says that in that passage. So, "And to esteem them highly in love because of their work, be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice when? Always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in what? All circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen? Amen. He will surely do it. Surely do what? Keep you faithful until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blameless. Amen. That is good news. Now, those are all very good things to excel at still more and more. But as I said, our focus then today is on that one verse there, verse 18, in that list of instructions in which we are told, give thanks in what? All circumstances. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, that's something that we is often asked about. What is the will of God? How can I know the will of God for my life? And we've talked about this before on some other occasions here, that we say, well, what? How can I know the will of God for my life? And I would suggest that I think when we look at that topic biblically, the overwhelming majority of the will of God is spelled out explicitly and clearly for us in the Word of God for us. The will of God is primarily what? It's God's moral will, the kinds of persons that he desires for us to be. The will of God, in one word I would say, is sanctification or Christ-likeness, growing to be like Jesus. That is the will of God. And so the will of God is something that we can know. It's in the Word of God here for us. It's our sanctification, being more like Christ, being obedient to what he has revealed in his word. And some of those other questions we have about what's he doing in our life or what decisions should I make? You know what? We look back and we see later what God was doing in all of those things. We need to trust him right now and be obedient right now to what he has said, how he has revealed himself. So in this verse, if you want to know God's will, I can tell you right here, what is God's will for your life? To give thanks in all circumstances. That can be a hard thing to do, right? Doesn't say, give thanks when everything is going the way you want it to. Give thanks when God answers your prayer in the way that you wanted him to answer. Give thanks when he provides for you in the way that you wanted him to provide for you. Give thanks when he does what you want. No, it's give thanks in all circumstances, including when God has provided or answered in the way that you want or hope for. When things are going well. By the way, I've often wondered, we say when things are going well, how do we really know when things are going well or when they're not? I have a feeling things look very different on that front from God's perspective. Do you think it's possible we might think things are going very, very well and the reality is God is saying, no, this really isn't so good for you. It isn't so well, actually. And other times when we think things are going horribly, God is saying, actually, you are right on track for what he is doing. Things are going well from his perspective. You think that might ever be the case? I do. So that's why we're told, give thanks in all circumstances. And by the way, does it say give thanks for all circumstances? Should we be thankful when you go to the doctor and you get a very disturbing report or diagnosis. God, I am thankful that I have just been diagnosed with a terrible disease. No, we're not thankful for difficult things, painful things, but we give thanks in all things. Why? Well, we'll look a little more at that in just a moment here. So give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God desires, God commands us to give thanks in all circumstances. So as I was thinking about this passage, I thought, okay, we're the giving of thanks. There are three questions that came to mind that I'd like us to consider here today then. First one is this: why? Why should I give thanks? Why should I give thanks in all circumstances? Second one is when? I answered that more first one already, didn't I? But why should I give thanks? Then the second, when? When should I give thanks? And finally, then thirdly, how? How should I give thanks? Why, when, and how? Why should I give thanks? When should I give thanks? And how should I give thanks? Well, the first one, why should I give thanks? We're going to have a little interactive message here today. You're going to have a chance to give thanks and praise. You'll have that opportunity. But I'll just ask you right now, how would you answer that question? Why? Why should I give thanks? Why should you give thanks? How would you answer that? Why? Is what? We should be grateful for what we receive. Well, why should we be grateful, Linda? I'm not going to put you on the spot here. Okay, I just did put her on the spot, even though I said I wasn't going to, right?
You already got my answer.
I already have her answer. There it is. Okay. Well, we should be. There's a moral imperative, an oughtness about it there, right? Okay, that's what you meant. You meant Kant's categorical imperative, right? Right, exactly. See, there you go. No. What else? There was back there. Yep, Barb?
It glorifies God.
It glorifies God. Okay, good. Okay, what else? Why should we give thanks?
He commanded us to take a problem.
Because what, Tony?
He commanded us.
He has commanded us. Well, boy, somebody must have skipped ahead and read the notes there. Yeah, God commands it. That's the first one. Now, there's more to it. We're going to look at some more here. But yeah, that's the first one, is why should I give thanks? Well, first of all, because God commands it. Now, that's enough reason right there, isn't it? And as we said, when God commands things, why does God command us to do things? And why does he command us to do things that are difficult? Yeah? Because he wants to put us on his righteous path. That's right. It's ultimately for our good and our well-being, and it's an expression of God's love when he tells us to do certain things or to not do other things, right? Parents, when you tell your children, do this or don't do that, why do you do that? Because you want to make their lives difficult, miserable? No, because, I hope, it's because you love them and you know a little bit more about life than they do. Some of you kids, you might be surprised to hear, actually, they're all in junior church, so we can talk about them now, right? But parents generally know a little more about life than children, don't they? They better, right? It's pretty sad when they don't, right? You think God knows a little bit more about life than you or me? Yeah. There's a reason why he refers to himself or identifies himself in the terms of being a father, a heavenly father, right? So God commands it. Why does he command it? Well, because he has made us and he knows what is good. He knows what is right. He knows what is best for us. Now, there's more to it than that. But that's one reason why we should give thanks. God says to do it, and that's enough reason right there. And he says to do it because he loves. God knows that it's good. God commands it, first of all. And then what? God is worthy. God is worthy of it. When someone does something wonderful for you, do you want to give thanks to them? Is it appropriate to give thanks to them? Absolutely. You know, this last week, last Sunday, was my birthday, rumor has it. Thank you for your well wishes, but after church on Sunday, actually I went down into the city, met up with some friends there who came up from where I'm originally from Peoria, and we had a wonderful time there. We got hotel rooms, stayed in the city overnight, and Monday went to the Art Institute in Chicago. It had been a number of years since I'd been there. I hadn't been there since they have this new addition, this new modern wing that they put in. I guess it's been open since like 2010 or so, 2009, 2010, something like that. Had a wonderful time. And you know what? Didn't cost me a dime. All of that. They covered all of that. It was a gift. It was a birthday gift. So I think I said, you know what? I really deserved all of this, so. In fact, guys, you came up. I'm glad that I was able to bless all of you with my presence here this weekend. So I'm glad I was able to bless you in that way. Now, what did I say? What do you think I said? I said, thank you. I appreciated what they did. Now, if we can say thank you in a situation like that, you think that God is worthy of being thanked for what he has done? Well, what has he done? Well, you know, that's a great exercise sometimes. That's just to sit down. Think about what has God done? What has God done for you? And what has God promised that he's going to do for you? Is that worthy of thanksgiving? I think so. So God commands it. God is worthy. It's a story in Luke chapter 17 of 10 lepers who were healed. Now they were all delighted and so happy to have been healed of this terrible disease, leprosy. But only one of them thanked him. Sure, the others, now they were all pleased that they were healed, but only one of them thanked Jesus for what he had done. And you know, when you look at that story, something very interesting occurs as a result of this thanksgiving that this one gave. Let me read that passage to you. Listen to this. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. It says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Oh, the dreaded Samaritans. And then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Jesus said to the man then, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, all of them were delivered or healed of their physical disease, this leprosy. But what about that last one? He was healed of more than that, wasn't he, though? He was healed of his spiritual disease. He was cleansed. He was forgiven. He was saved. God commands it. God is worthy of it. And because God commands it, and God knows what he's doing, you know what? It's good for the soul. It's good for the soul. God made the soul. God made you. God made your soul. He knows what's best for it. Do you have any folks here, and of course, I wouldn't include myself in this category, but do you have any folks here that like the last thing you want to do is read the directions, instructions on things? They're always, you get something you want to go to work on, start working, and then when you finally realized you've messed it up, well, maybe I better go back and look at the instructions here. Now, of course, that never happens to me, but I know some of you that does happen to you, right? So, no, that happens to me all the time. I think, yeah, maybe I better go out and take another look at those instructions, right? Well, God has given some instruction in His Word about the care of our souls, if you will. One of those things He says is, you know what, it is good for, God commands it and He's worthy of it, but you know what, it is good for our souls when we do that. There's something healthy and life-giving about having a spirit of thanksgiving or gratitude. The benefits that it brings to us spiritually. In fact, a grateful soul is a more healthy and joyful soul, isn't it? People who never give thanks aren't grateful for what they have. Kind of hard to be joyful, isn't it? Gratitude is a huge component of a joyful soul, of a joyful heart. I would suggest then too, God is also the creator of the body. And so giving thanks, gratitude is good for the body as well. You know, there have been a number of studies that have been shown. I won't cite them all here now, but and there's some scientific debate about exactly which one comes first. Does gratitude lead to a healthier body, or does a healthier body lead to gratitude? I think there's probably a little of both of that going on there, but I don't think there's any question that what we think about and having a grateful spirit impacts our health, that there are positive health benefits for that. So that's another good reason to give thanks. But here's another one. It's good for the soul, it's good for the body. It's also, it is good for the body. Wait a minute, did I just repeat myself? You know, I just told you I just had a birthday last week. Am I in my old age here? Am I getting confused and repeating myself here? Well, I may be repeating myself occasionally. I've been accused of that, by the way, of repeating myself. Have I ever mentioned that I've been accused of repeating myself? I've been accused of that before, so. But no, this is a different body. This is what? The body of Christ, the church. That it's good for a church family, a church body. Do you believe that a grateful church, a grateful local assembly that gives thanks and praise to God is probably going to be a more healthy local church than one that doesn't give praise and thanks to God? Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's good for the body of Christ as well. A grateful church family is a healthy church family. So that's why. Those are just, we could look at some more, but I think those are some good reasons there why we should give thanks. Well, what about when? When should we give thanks? Well, in good times. Should we give thanks in good times? Absolutely. You know, the times when we give thanks for God for what He's doing, the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 17 says what? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. You know, in that context there in James chapter 1, he's talking about temptation, and don't be deceived then. I think sometimes one of the reasons why we fall to temptation is even though maybe in our heart of hearts we really do know better, or at least we should know better, somehow we think that if we give in to this temptation that that's going to be a net good for us, that it's doing something good for us by giving in to that impulse, whatever it may be. And the reality is, of course, is that's a lie. Don't be deceived by sinful temptations. They're not going to fulfill you. They're not good. Why? Because really every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from above, from God. And so we give thanks then for that. And so there are times when we see God's good gifts realized in our lives. And we are thankful for that. And we should. One of the reasons why we should give thanks then in good times is it is a reminder then of who truly is the source of all that is good in our lives. See, if we don't give thanks in the good times, we might tend to get to thinking then that, well, all of this is because of me, right? Really? No. In the good times, we give thanks as a reminder that, hey, it's ultimately, this is all from God. Everything good is from God. So we give thanks in humble recognition that all that we have that is good and joyful and pleasant is because of God's goodness and God's favor. It honors Him to do that, doesn't it? So we give thanks in good times. And now here's the part where it gets difficult. We are even to give thanks in bad times, in hard times, in painful times, when things aren't going so well. There's trouble at work. We're having trouble in our finances. We got a bad report from a doctor. That relationship that we've been working on for so long just blew up in our faces yet again. Do we give thanks for that bad report? Do we give thanks for that trouble in the relationship? No, we give thanks in those things. Why do we give thanks in those things? Because we know that even when it's bad, God is still in control. God is sovereign. And that we can entrust ourselves to Him, knowing that He is working. He is with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And that He is working in them and through them for our good. And I know that can be cold comfort, but it is truth, right? And when we give thanks in that, that cold comfort can become warm comfort. We give thanks in bad times because we have hope. Biblical hope that God is at work in our lives, that He is working together in all things for our good, and that He is ultimately working to bring to completion our salvation. And that's why we can give thanks in bad times as well as good. Or how about this one? Do you ever think of it this way? We think good times, bad times. How about this one? How about ordinary times? That's a lot of life, isn't it? A lot of life is ordinary times. Not necessarily like good times, like things are great, you know, or bad either. Just ordinary, everyday. Ordinary times. You know, I've come to appreciate ordinary times a lot more. All it takes is like one really rough spell when things are going really bad. It's hard for you. And all of a sudden, you know what? I appreciate my dull, boring life now, right? So in ordinary times, God's ordinary, everyday faithfulness to us. Ordinary, everyday gratitude. Good times, bad times, ordinary times. In other words, in all times. All times. Why should we give thanks? When should we give thanks? How should we give thanks? In private worship. That is, when we are spending that time alone in quietness before our Lord. Again, I would highly recommend for all of us here that we are setting aside some time just to be alone with God, opening up His Word, privately worshiping Him in spirit and in the truth of His Word in prayer. So how do we give thanks? By worshiping Him in spirit, in private. That's one way we give thanks and praise, privately. But here's another way we can give thanks is in public worship. Worship, there's the private component, you with God, period, alone. But then also when we gather together as the body of Christ, we can give thanks and praise through public worship. I hope that you were thanking God and have been thanking God today as we were singing together. And you're going to get an opportunity in a moment here to give public thanks to God. No pressure, by the way. Give public praise to God in public worship. We give thanks in the Spirit, that is, in the depth of our being, the core of our being, the core of our personality, who we are, how God has made us. And we also give thanks in the Spirit. Oh, there he goes again. He's repeating himself again. No. It's in the Spirit, that is in our human spirit. But we do it in the Spirit, that is in the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit guides and directs our thoughts and our prayers. Give thanks in the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your thoughts and your thanksgiving. Because I don't know about you, I need a little help in my spiritual life. Anybody else here? I don't need a little, but I need a lot of help in my spiritual life. And that's why God, well, that's why Jesus sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives me all kinds of things to be thankful for and to express praise to God for. Things I might not have thought of on my own in my little s spirit. We do it in words, with our voices, giving thanks and praise to God. But we can also, though, give thanks in deeds. Did you ever think about that? That how we live, our lives are a giving of thanks. How we live our lives. We live our lives in obedience to God, growing in Christ, doing good works that He has ordained for us as an expression of thanksgiving. That's a great way to give thanks to God, is to live our lives in a way that's honoring to Him and pleasing to Him, to do the things He's called us to do. We're giving thanks to God by doing those things in deeds. What we do then is an expression of that gratitude to God. Well, so what? What do you want me to do about that? Well, remind us again that the follower of Jesus, if you're a follower, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're commanded to give thanks in all circumstances. So I would challenge us with a couple of points here on that. And dare I say it here, okay, I'm going to put a cliche expression out there. You know, cliches, there's a reason why cliches become cliches, though, right? Is because there's truth behind them. So, okay, so there's my cliche alert. You know, you have spoiler alerts. So here's the cliche alert. But okay, I know it's a cliche, but let's think about the truth of what that's saying here, okay? So here's one of the most important things that we can do in response to this, then, is to cultivate an attitude of gratitude, right? An attitude of gratitude. That's something we have to work at. Do you normally, naturally, just give thanks all the time in all circumstances? I don't. Even in good times, we can tend to kind of forget about God and think about ourselves, right? Bad times, giving thanks in that isn't the first thing that comes to my mind. We have to work at it. Make the effort to say, you know what? I am going to give thanks today. Whatever may come. And when it's good news, give the honor and the praise to God. When it's not so good news, say, Lord, I'm trusting you through this anyway. Cultivate, work at that attitude of gratitude. And then here's a little practical suggestion. Right? That think about this sometimes in prayer. Why not say, you know what, as I pray, I'm going to begin my prayers by saying, God, I thank you. We don't normally do that, do we, right? Normally, we want to get very quick to the things that we want God to do for us or for someone else. Why not begin with, God, I thank you for this? Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful. We're thankful that you have created us. You have made us. You have made all things, and that you have made us in your image, made us to know you. And Lord, you have given us tremendous gifts, tremendous powers, even the power to say no to you, to resist you, to rebel against you. But even in that, Lord, you have proven your love and your justice in sending a Savior, how in Him both your justice and your love, your grace met. Thank you for our Savior who perfectly obeyed your law, did for us what we could never do. He is our righteousness. He is our holiness. He obeyed for us. And then, Lord, He willingly took on Himself the judgment or the punishment for our sin, our disobedience, our rebellion against you, dying for us, buried and rising again, in order that through faith in Him, we might have forgiveness of sin, the gift of eternal life, and the gift of perfect holiness and righteousness, all received as gifts of your mercy and grace. So, Lord, we give you thanks for him. We give you thanks for the hope that we have. Lord, we give you thanks in the good times for the blessings, those good and perfect gifts that have come and to come down to us just when we needed them. And Lord, in the bad times, that even in those things that we have seen your gifts to us at that time, how you are faithful, how you are with us, how you never leave us or forsake us. And in the ordinary times too, God, may we never take our ordinary lives for granted, those ordinary moments for granted, and give you thanks and praise in those times also. Thank you, Lord, that you are going to conclude the salvation, the redemption that you have begun in us, that this is our hope, that we will rule and reign with you, holy, righteous, and glorious resurrection bodies on a new earth, new heaven, and new earth forever and ever. Thank you for the many answered prayers we've seen in this congregation. We give you thanks and praise now for all of that. May we always give thanks in all circumstances, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.